Welcome to the Balanced Wellness Solutions Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Courtney Ciccoletti, your pharmacist turned functional medicine practitioner and integrative nutrition health coach. I'm on a mission to help others find alternative solutions to the chronic issues that far too often consume our lives. Balance is an individual journey that looks different for everyone. So on this show, I sit down with other leaders in the wellness space to discuss ways you can achieve it. We tackle topics like recovering from chronic illness, developing habits to improve mental health, and even how natural remedies like CBD can help aid in the healing process. It's time to find a solution to balance your wellness. Welcome back, everyone. Today, I have Mike Moosberger on the show, who is an amazing inspiration to me and to many. He is a former D1 athlete and professional football player, a coach to one of our local high school football teams, a motivational speaker, trainer, and partner and president of 23 Games Days Men's Health Locations. So excited for this interview and to have you on. Welcome, Mike.
Courtney, I appreciate you. Thank you for having me on. It's a pleasure.
I am so excited to dive into all of the things today. And the thing I like to start with most of my guests is your why. And I know you have an amazing why. You have a really heavy why. But I think as a coach, a mentor, a leader, it's so important that you share it because it really inspires me to see how what you've been through and how you take that into your life and all that you do. So I thank you for sharing that before we even get started. So, all right, so let's dive in. Let's start from the beginning. Let's talk about college. You're playing college ball. Life is good.
Yep. So, I'm fortunate, the all-American family, right? I'm the youngest of four, so mom and dad stopped when they got it right, and I was blessed. They were very supportive of me. So they were at every football game and all those things. It was wonderful. And I had, my older brother was 7 years older than me. So very much like twins, even though we were 7 years apart, looked the same. I'm significantly better looking, but looked the same, same type of humor, same type of athletic ability. I was more athletic, but very, very similar in those ways. So, as a young kid growing up, at that 7 year difference, Courtney, when I'm 12 and he's 17, 18, right? Of course, I wanted to go out and play with him and his friends. So I spent my entire youth getting the crap kicked out of me, right? So it also, allowed me to kind of have a role model, right? So it was a very big part of my life. And the middle of my senior season, it was business as usual. We were having a good year. I was playing well. NFL was a very strong possibility. Agents were calling. Everything was great. And one Tuesday morning, I spoke to my father every Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock. Not a one, not 8:59, 9 o'clock. And on this particular Tuesday morning, October 30th, the call never took place. And it was odd. I called. I didn't get an answer. And I had remembered the week prior that he and my brother were possibly going on a business trip that morning. So I didn't really think anything of it because I believe it was midterms at Wake Forest, right? So I had to figure out how to get in all the studying that I hadn't done prior to the midterm test. And I had practiced that day. So the day had went on and it was odd. I hadn't heard from them. So I went to practice, like everything, I shelved it. I was at practice, right? So around dinner time, I left practice with my teammates and answered my cell phone. I had a voicemail from my brother-in-law, and he said, "Hey, give me a call at home." So I gave a call at home, and my sister answered the phone, and I thought she was sort of playing a game with me because she couldn't really talk, and I started to get annoyed, and I was like, what are you doing? Come on, I'm going to eat dinner. Like, I'm hungry. I just finished practice. My brother-in-law got on the phone and said, "Hey, they're all gone. You need to come home." So what I found out was there had been a horrific accident at home. My brother had been nursing a drug problem for a number of years. The family had kept it from me because they had taken him to rehab and he was getting all the help that he needed and was doing well. At the time, he had moved home with my parents. And it made sense to me because everyone said, "Hey, mom and dad are getting older. They're coming to watch you play football. They need Tommy around to help and mentor things." So I didn't think anything of it. The real reason was they were helping him. They were getting him treatment and all those things. So He had been doing well, and after about a year, he relapsed and he got a very bad dose of what he was taking. And one thing led to another in the middle of the night. He was high, he was freaked out. He ended up thinking my parents were intruders. He shot them, thinking he was defending the home, crashed, realized what he did the next morning. He wrote a letter and took his own life. So I dealt with that middle of my senior season. I'm 21 years old, the youngest of four, right? I have two sisters at home that are a mess. Family's a mess. There's like, what do we do,
Right,
right?
you're the man of the house now. Like it's.
So I did what I was taught to do. I was the big tough football player, so I came home and I just took care of everybody else and tried to handle things and be strong and be the rock and let everybody lean on me. So that's what I did. Went back, graduated, was fortunate, had an opportunity to play professional ball, found myself on the outside of a long-term NFL contract, ended up in the CFL with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Was great. It was wonderful. I ended up getting hurt in my second year, and after being out for a while, deciding it's time to move on to the next phase of my life. Unfortunately, however, as I had gotten hurt, it was a time for me where I'd lost my family, my career, and my identity was essentially over. Right? Anybody who's been an athlete, when you've done this from the time you were young. And that ends, it's a real large identity crisis. So, because of my injury, I was also medicated. And, I decided, the medication would help if I could just numb myself out. So that led to me taking more and more and more. And I became the best hidden functional addict you have ever seen. And, I always say, obviously, there's a physical dependency when you do those types of things, of course. But for me, it was, I really just wanted to numb all that pain that I had never addressed, right? So
Percent.
it just kind of spiraled out of control because as one pill led to another, that wasn't enough. So I coupled that with a little bit of alcohol to help intensify the effect, and on and on and on. And after one night of hitting, rock bottom, I decided it's time for me to go. So I wrote my own letter, and took my own weapon and decided I was going to end my life. When I tried to do that, the gun just went click. And I looked down and I realized that the magazine had fallen out. So I don't have any recollection of hitting that button, whatever it is, but that was a very sobering moment. I got up, cried for the first time like a baby. I got up the next morning, I dumped all my pills, everything down the toilet, and proceeded to detox myself in private on the bathroom floor for about a week. So that's really where I found myself. Courtney, with your background, that was a very unpleasant experience for me. But through that's led me to my own progress of fixing mental health, of fixing health, of talking openly about this because, I tell even my athletes now all the time, hey guys, everybody's messed up. We all have something. Some of us just hide it better, right? So that's led me into what I do now with Game Day Men's Health and mentoring and coaching. But that is my why, because I realized how poorly I handled that situation. And as a 21-year-old and thinking how to do it, I don't want anyone else, God forbid, if they're fortunate enough to have to go through something like that. I don't want them to make the same mistakes that I made.
And, this speaks on so many different levels. And like the two big takeaways, you think of, like you just said, you've been playing football your whole life. You've been playing, and then, this injury happens. Now what, who am I? What do I do? This is, and that's just one part of it, right? And men's mental health in general is just in the gutter in our country, in our world.
It is.
And it's such a problem that we don't talk enough about. So the fact that you do talk about it as a big man and you're like, no, like this is where I was and this is where I am now, I think that's so important to have a voice like yours, because this is what most of us do, even women, but men more so in general, of, well, I'm a big tough guy. I gotta just shove it down. I don't have time to deal with this, or I can't show emotion. I've gotta be, a father, a husband, a worker, whatever it is that you're doing. And I think that so many men are suffering, and they need to hear this voice of owning their emotions and getting help when they need it.
Yeah, it's Unfortunately, we're at a point in society where mental health is huge, and it's getting speaking about it openly has become much more socially acceptable, which is great. It seems as it's always been a bit more socially acceptable for women to talk about it than men, to your point, right? We're seen as weak. And honestly, I came from that same mindset. If you go back and ask my 21-year-old self that, what's that going to do for me? Like, I didn't want to talk to somebody who, and I spoke to several therapists before I found one that really resonated and decided to work with me. But my answer was always, tell me what you've been through. Right? Like, I want to know, like, how are you going to relate to me if you haven't lost your brother and your parents and all this at the same time, and you haven't been through a bin? So I understand you're trying to, but that's all theory. That's not practicality. So, as we look at today's men's health issues, it's for me, I love talking about it openly and honestly because I've done a lot of work on myself and I continue to work on myself, but I've made things so much harder on myself than they needed to be, right? And the analogy I like to give is, Courtney, if I had given you three balls of clay, a green, a red, and a yellow, and I asked you to just roll them in your hands for a minute or two and then separate those colors, you can't. And that's what happens when we push things down, we suppress things, when we don't, embrace our pain. And that's a big thing for me because as humans, we're not set up to go towards pain. We're told even from a young age, go away from it. But, I've found through my experiences, unfortunately, the hard way, that everything we want is on the other side of that pain and that fear. You just have to get through it. And something you said is most important. When you can't do it, and this is always from the time I was a child, this has been my biggest issue. Asking for help. And that ultimately comes from a place of ego. It's not a narcissistic thing. It's just I want to show that I can do this on my own. But unfortunately, it's a categorical mistake. And one of my huge mentors, one of my best friends, David Meltzer, talks about it all the time. It's the best lesson he's taught me, which is asking for help. And there's nothing wrong with that. We all need a coach or a spot in life. So it's okay to reach out and ask somebody for that. And as men, that's something that we need to do. And it's okay. So, like I said, all of us are messed up. Some of us just hide it better. It's all right, fellas, right? Everyone's going through something.
It's so true, 100%. And I feel like just your voice, like just you talking about this and bringing this awareness, because there's so many different factors in the world today. I always say with my clients, in 2025, our bodies don't know the difference between being chased by a bear and just trying to live in 2025, being in the doom scrolling and just trying to keep up with a work life, a family life. Everybody's just trying to hustle, 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 and there's never that pause. And it, the physiology of it, of just, hey, what's happening with our cortisol when that's happening, right? And then when our cortisol is off, all of our hormones are off. This affects not just our insulin. Hey, why can't we lose weight? Why are we holding on to this belly fat? What happens to our sex hormones? What's happening to our thyroid? It just sets up this perfect storm in our body,
Sure.
that affects our neurotransmitters, anxiety, depression, focus, cognitive function, all of these things, that piece together. So it's we live in this fast-paced world, and it's kind of like you said, like taking the time to stop, to like slow down, to speed up, to say, hey, wait a second, I need help. So whether it's asking from help from a friend or a partner or a trained professional, a coach, any kind of mentor, I think it's so important. And again, circling it back around to men, because like you said earlier, yes, it's more, it's becoming more common for people to talk about. We're bringing awareness to mental health and wellness. But it's okay to talk about it as a woman or be vulnerable. But as a man, we can't be vulnerable, right? We got to be these strong, tough guys. So, taking it to your coaching, you're working with a bunch of testosterone-filled teenagers. What's
Hopefully,
that?
hopefully testosterone
Right,
free.
we're gonna get into that too.
Yeah.
Talk to me. What's that like?
For me, it's as I think back, this is year 22 for me now. I laugh about it because coaching, as much as I enjoy it, I get as much, if not more, from the kids than I give them. They might argue that point, but For me, coaching has been one of the best therapies for myself because I truly believe as men, you have to be of service. It's important to be of service, of something greater than yourself, right? And young men are, I think, in a position where they might have it the hardest out of everybody right now because there's a lot of different voices, there's a lot of different directions they're pulled. Expectations are set and they're not realistic, and they're very misled. I think is the best way to put it. So for me, it's been something. It's been a privilege. It's interesting. They all become like adopted kids that I didn't want. But at times, it's always great. I have funny stories with them, and I'm close with them. And I really do. Even guys that have gone on, they play in college. I have guys who are getting married now, and I'll still get texts. We'll still talk. So as I think back, it's funny. Starting 20 years ago, those guys now are in their 30s, which is mind-boggling to me. But the ones today, they are interesting. I think the future's bright. There is a very strong segment of them that I think are, it's sad to say, Courtney, but I'll say they're sort of throwbacks, meaning they're really leaning in toward that old school male mentality of, yes, you can be vulnerable, you're still strong, you can be a man and be someone of good moral character and of ethics and acceptance, and you don't have to like everybody, but you're not going to make anybody feel worse. It's an important thing. So we'll say it's a labor of love, I'll say that.
What do you feel like you see these guys like struggling the most with in just
It's
for them?
honestly, it's It, a lot of it is just direction. They're pulled in so many different ways, right? I mean, if we look at even just how our education system is set up, there's so much pressure put on them to, what are you going to do in college? And what are you going to do with your life? And what's your major? I'm 46. I think I know what I'm doing with my life, but I'm not quite sure, right? So to put that on an 18-year-old where they have to make this decision where it's like, you have to know, it's asinine. They're not going to know. They have no experience. I think the other thing that the biggest hurdle I see, and I talk to my players about it often, is the internet has made everybody think they're an expert, right? And what happens is you have a bunch of young people who know facts with no context, and they think that they know everything, and everything we say is wrong, and they're the experts, and we're wrong, and we're stupid because they saw this on this website, and how could we not know that? And God bless them, but they have no experience, right? They don't know what they're looking at, and it's not their fault. It's what I go back to. They're pulled in so many different directions on social media and all these things. COVID was an absolute atrocity to keep those kids away from each other. It's complete and utter nonsense. It was ridiculous. It has created such a mental health
Terrible.
crisis. And the real epidemic was not COVID. The real epidemic was loneliness, and it still is, because we now live in this extremely bifurcated society where everyone's excited because they've got 50,000 friends on Facebook. Well, all right, bro, how many friends do you have in real life? Call one of them and go have a cup of coffee. And they can't. And that's one of the reasons I love coaching, because for 2 hours or for 3 hours on a Friday night, we get them. And it's community and it's brotherhood, and they're focused and they're away from their phones, and they're all rowing in the same direction for a common goal. And they're doing it for their brothers and their friends, and it's blood, sweat, and tears, and they're getting beat sometimes, and no one's there to save them. So that's what I love about that. It removes it from the disillusioned reality that we all show on Instagram and Facebook and things, and it brings them into the real world. And sports, they're the perfect analogy for life. I learned, as wonderful as Wake Forest is, I love that institution. It's full of bright people. Not quite sure how I got in. I was good at football, I guess, but I learned more on the football field, Courtney, in the ACC than I ever did from my brilliant professors at Wake Forest.
I love that. It's just so, I love what you're doing. I love that you're so relatable to these young men because they need somebody like you that's being real with them. Because We talked about this the other day. When you see, Instagram, all it takes is, hey, I missed that kick on the field, and then that girl that I really like is now posting a picture with another guy, and it's like the end of the world. And it's almost this, like, I don't want to say made up, fallacy, but it's like social media is social media, right? Like nothing is what you see. Nothing is what to be believed. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, and I think one of the big mistakes that we all make, and especially as adults for young people, is, and I've talked about this with my own situation when I speak about what happened. I never want anyone, because people hear my story and they're like, "Oh my God, I could never get through that," or "Oh my God, that's so much worse than anything that I'm going through." Don't do that to yourself. We all share this gigantic rock that's hurtling through infinitum in space together, but our lives are completely individualistic. Yes, we're all going to face the same things, the complexity of being humans and love and loss and all those things. But just because it's a big deal in my life doesn't mean it's not in yours and vice versa. Comparison is the absolute thief of joy. You
Yes, it
cannot do
is.
it. And people compare pain, and there's no like, listen, I don't want to be that guy that's number one on the pain list. Like, oh, Mike's got it worse. That's where society's kind of gotten. And it's okay. It doesn't matter if you hear my story and you find it relatable to you broke up with your girlfriend. Awesome. I'm glad I was able to help you. And don't trivialize that, because it is a big deal. And for young men and young women nowadays, everything goes viral in an instant. A rumor, a nasty comment, a picture that's misinterpreted, a wrong text where, words got mistakenly used, and and the problem is we forget that, okay, yeah, that's minutiae to us because we've got to worry about bills and our boss and a TPS report and some other stupid crap, right? But for those kids, that girlfriend's his world. That kick that he missed is earth-shattering. He's embarrassed. He's getting made fun of. There's people sliding into his message boards and telling him how bad he sucks, and they're getting bullied. And it's a sad reality. It's part of life. We all face it. But I think all of us need to do a better job of remembering, for young people, it's not easy. It's convenient because they can hit a button and order food and take pressure off us. It's convenient because we can let a stranger pick them up in a cab and take them somewhere. By the way, I don't even understand the ridiculous of that. Can you imagine when we were younger, Courtney? Hey, mom, I'm going to have a stranger pick me up. They're going to drop me off. I'll be cool. Yeah. What? I think John Walsh had an entire long-running television show about that. Anyway, I digress. So going
We're getting
back,
old, Mike. We're getting old.
we're something. But it's I talk to my guys about it a lot, because it is, you have to understand those things. It's part of life. It's integrated with us, but it isn't life. It's a tool. That's all it is. It's not connection. But it's very, very hard for them. So when we look at that, particularly when you look at social media and just how life is, again, it's why I love sports, right? Anything like that, whether it's, and it could be an extracurricular activity. I don't care what your why is, or what your passion is. Maybe it's band, maybe it's equestrian, maybe it's photography. I don't care, whatever it is. But that, whatever your escape is, get away from the phone, get away from comparing, understand that we're all on our own different path here, right? Even though we're sharing this wonderful life together, do you? There's only ever going to be one of you. So take that opportunity to become the best version of yourself and enjoy the process.
I love it. Words of wisdom. So let's shift our focus to adults and kind of the same topic, right? So same thing goes for social media, everybody comparing, everybody keeping up with each other, all of that stuff, and this fake imagery that people see that creates, again, the anxiety, the depression. Why don't I have this? Oh, I'm not as good as this person. Oh, I don't have that. Oh, look at their perfect family. Oh, why am I this way? And I think this kind of leads into a lot of the both men and women in general leads into this again, like back to the mental health and wellness. Like, I feel like so many things in the environment too. Like, I want to kind of bring this to like almost like what you're doing with game day. Like,
Yep.
I want to bring this to when you have men coming into the clinic and like, What's the process? I want to talk about, well, I mean, we'll dive into like the whys and the things that are causing these men to have these low levels, but what is happening when you bring people into your clinic?
It's the process itself is very easy. I ask for about 40 minutes of your time. That first consultation is on us, so your only commitment to me is 40 minutes of your time. We're gonna run your bloods. We're gonna get an idea of where your levels are at. We're gonna tell you, hey, this is where they are, and we're gonna ask you about your life. How are you feeling? What brought you in today? What do you want to get better at? Is there something that you're uncomfortable with that you're not sure about? That first appointment is really about educating and learning about them. I want to know why they came in because, again, as men, the last thing we do is go to the doctor. That's not going to happen. And it's sad, but any athlete will tell you, like, I was told, like, I avoided the training room like it was the Grim Reaper because you can't be on the field if you're in a training room. So we were just taught it's just a negative mindset relative to doctors. And, with all due respect to doctors, I love them, but anyone who thinks we're getting fair information nowadays, come on, wake up. So, our big quest with Game Day, and particularly our locations, and this is something I'm passionate about, is education, right? First of all, testosterone is not a steroid, it is a sex hormone, okay? You have it, I have it, our pets have it, right? So, that's the first thing we overcome because men come in, and 9 times out of 10, the hesitation they have comes from their spouse, who thinks they're going to go on steroids and thinks all these negative things are going to happen without realizing all the negative things have already happened, and testosterone is going to fix this. You talk about mental health. I am an enormous advocate of this, and if I can somehow make this happen, I am going to, for the good of our country. Anyone that goes in to a mental health professional, and they're wonderful. If you were going to prescribe them an SSRI or some sort of brain medication, comprehensive blood work, first line of defense. And I know people are going to argue and people are going to say these things. However, optimized hormones, particularly testosterone therapy, for men will eradicate so many need for obsessive pills, unnecessary medications. And the same for women. So for me, my passion is education. Let's get you as healthy as we can with the least amount of medication possible.
So, Mike, you're preaching to the choir. So, this is why I'm no longer a pharmacist anymore. Well, I guess I'm always a pharmacist because I'm a pharmacist, but this is why I no longer practice in the traditional pharmacy setting because this is what I saw over and over and over again with people where they're not hitting on the root cause. They're not finding out why. And I want to preface this with, for anybody listening, there is never any shame in antidepressants. If you are going through something and you need to be on medication, any kind of therapy, whatever it is, I totally condone that. And whatever you need to do to get through your situation, whether it's permanent, whether it's to bridge a gap, I, as a pharmacist, functional medicine practitioner, I am like all for whatever somebody is where they're on in their journey. But nonetheless, I watch people get their 7 minutes with their doctor. Their doctor doesn't even have time to listen. Like you just said, you sit down with your person and you listen to them. You ask them what they're feeling, what's going on, understand them as a person and what is happening. And then you make the decisions of, okay, where people are getting put on prescriptions, whether it's SSRIs, whether it's cholesterol medicine, blood pressure medicine, and they're not even getting looked at the root cause of something like, hey, what are your hormone levels at? What are your testosterone levels at? Because testosterone equals mental health. Like it really doesn't. I don't think people understand that with like obviously in the general public, somebody that's not in healthcare that doesn't understand, they wouldn't even correlate the two to each other, right? Energy levels, the fact that like it's the fountain of youth for both men and women and being at appropriate levels. Obviously, you have your appropriate level as a man, I have my appropriate level as a woman, but knowing that those levels can affect every function in the body. Like I said earlier, when your cortisol is off, all of your hormones are off. When your testosterone is off, all of your hormones are off. So if you get that right, that's when everything else in the body can start firing and functioning properly.
And, and to be clear, I'm not a physician. I have great respect for physicians. However, I've also been on treatment for 16 years. I've tried every variation that it is. I changed my protocol specifically so I can give real life anecdotal responses to patients of this is how I felt. Doesn't mean you're going to feel this way. However, this is what happened with me. And with respect, and this is, you know, this is going to piss some people off. With respect to physicians, I love they're fantastic. They're amazing at what they do.
Agreed.
However, someone comes in and you're a general practitioner and they answer five questions and you then go to your iPad and determine, all right, you need to go on this medication. How is that medicine?
It's not.
That's the shotgun approach of we're going to try a bunch of random shit until we can see what works. If someone were to come into my clinic, Courtney, you answered five questions and I said, okay, I'm going to put you on testosterone. People would go out of their minds. Out of their minds with
I
no
know.
diagnostics.
I know.
However, for billions and billions and billions of people across the world, we can just randomly hash this out. And over in the UK, it takes almost an act of God to get an SSRI.
It's crazy, right? Like, I mean, what's the fun,
But
but
here we hand them out like Tic Tacs.
100%. And
And
it's
again, for all those with respect, for those that need them, absolutely, it's a
crazy.
godsend and you should absolutely take them.
Agreed.
But if you break your leg, do you wear a cast forever?
Nope.
They were not made to be used forever. They were
Bingo.
made to find balance and then you titrate off them.
Bingo. And probably one of my biggest pet peeves that I saw as a pharmacist as well, affecting testosterone levels, statins, cholesterol medicine, right? So, like, where does our hormones come from,
You're
right?
really trying to get me started this morning, aren't you?
Let's dive in, Mike. Let's go, right?
Cholesterol is one of my biggest issues because I think back to our grandparents in that age, they have absolutely destroyed our cholesterol. And I know everyone's raving right now and they're getting ready to go on Google and say, cholesterol causes heart attacks. No, it doesn't. Hope
No, it
that helps.
doesn't.
So we're clear. Cholesterol goes to the heart and a heart attack because it sees trauma and it's trying to fix things. Okay.
100%. It's like
So
the
look.
firefighter going to put out the fire.
Correct. So let's stop that nonsense. And by the way, only about 12 or 13%, it's under 15%, I think it's 12, of the dietary cholesterol you eat gets converted. So we can stop bad mouthing eggs, the greatest superfood of all time. That's nonsense too.
Agreed.
Cholesterol is the building block of everything. This is why that older generation that everyone's so impressed with, that was tough and could do all these things and survived World War II, the great generation, their cholesterol was through the freaking roof. And
But they were healthy.
I don't believe, and I'll have to check the clinical trials on this, but I believe the number is 180. In recorded medical history, no one has survived a cancer treatment with a cholesterol under 180.
It's wild, and I think there's not enough studies being done on this, and there needs to be. But it when I tell you, one day I was shocked and appalled. So I didn't know this until one of my pharmacy technicians went on her lunch break to her doctor appointment, and she was a type 2 diabetic. She really honed in. She started exercising. She started eating right. She lost weight. So technically, type 2 diabetes is, to me, in my opinion, a joke of a diagnosis. It's not, it's like you gain some weight, like lose it and you'll fix it. Like it's totally not even a real disease. So it's kind of like, okay, she started to focus on her lifestyle stuff. She kind of like really got herself in shape. She went to her doctor's appointment. She comes back with a script for a statin. And I'm like, okay, I won't say her name. I'm like, why did she write for this? And she's like, oh, Dr. So-and-so said it's protocol. And I
Was
said,
it a misspelling? Did they need to write stair climber when they wrote statin? Like it was something it was a prescription for exercise, right?
I think you're so, I Mike, you just hit it. I think that's it. So I was like, well, wait, what? I was like, well, what? I was like, I don't understand. Your numbers are good. Your A1C is down. You're technically not even a type 2 diabetic anymore because your numbers are down. She said, and I quote, the doctor said I would be liable if I didn't put you on this because it is protocol. If you have one comorbidity, which was the type 2 diabetes, the A1C that was high and not even high anymore, She said, I would be liable if I didn't give you this prescription if you had a cardiovascular event and I didn't write this script for you, is what she said.
How do I get stupidity classified as a comorbidity, Courtney?
We
Could you
should
direct
work on
me?
it. We should work on it.
I see the same in TRT clinics where they think it's appropriate to prescribe men a cancer drug because they're going on testosterone. Let's fill them full of Arimidex. That is literally the stupidest shit I've ever heard in my life. Sorry.
No.
It drives me crazy. Estrogen, guys. Hear me loud and clear, please. It is neuroprotectant. It is cardiovascular protectant. It is wonderful for your sex drive. It is wonderful for your joints. Most importantly, it is wonderful for your mood, Mr. Grumpy Pants.
Yes, it is just brain health, cognitive function, all of it. And then again, even when we take it to, I know we're focusing on men in this podcast, but even with the ladies, it's the whole thing
Absolutely.
of
Everything.
avoid estrogen and estrogen, and then it's what are all these random breast cancer cases coming out for? Breast cancer wasn't rampant like it is now. Why all of a sudden now are we deeming estrogen the bad guy and trying to control things from that perspective? And what I do in my practice, like I kind of take it down to that next level where, where do all of these hormones get processed, right? It's like we've got our progesterones get broken down into the androgens and the estrogens, then they go through the liver. So, we see that there are so many factors that, again, this is like one of those kind of big aha moments, probably for a lot of people listening, is like, what affects the liver and congests the liver so that we can't break down these hormones properly and they're getting reabsorbed as toxins and toxic metabolites that create the hormonal effects, the bad, the anxiety, the depression, the breast cancer, all of those things. And even the things the other the like that are in our environment that act as xenoestrogens, that whether anything with fragrance in it or that we're putting on, whether it's a laundry detergent or a lotion or anything that we're breathing, smelling, the little air freshener in the car, like all of those things that literally affect our estrogen levels and block receptors so that we're not producing our estrogen properly. Our body thinks we have it from these toxins in the environment. And a lot of these things is why people get the hormone imbalances to begin with.
Yeah, it's you hit the nail on the head, Courtney. And a huge issue that most people don't talk about because in society it's go, 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 it's success, it's the next step. We are horrifically abusing our sleep cycles.
Oh my gosh,
Our
crazy.
circadian rhythm is completely ruined. And I will tell for anyone who's listening today, your superpower is sleep.
Yep.
Listen, it's hard for me. Too many concussions with football. I struggle to get into REM sleep. So I practice a lot of different sleep health methods to try to ensure I can get the best quality I can. But truly, independent of medicine, independent of supplements and peptides and all these other things, sleep is the number one thing that helps to heal everything.
You just said it, and I know I was going through a rough time a couple of years ago, and this ring, an Oura ring, I don't know if you've ever seen them, heard of them. It really kind
One of
of,
those.
oh my gosh. It really opened my eyes to what was really going on in my body and how, I
We
mean,
don't know
even
what we don't know, right, Courtney?
exactly. And I mean, it really, I was responsible. I mean, it seems silly and stupid, a little ring, but I mean, just kind of reminding me of the different things you're seeing and then me getting things in check every day, little by little, improving. And well, I better get in bed earlier. Okay. Knowing my, hey, something was off. What did you do something today that was strenuous on your body because you didn't get into the right REM cycle? And this is all part of like what I do like with in my practice where we talk about lymphatic drainage, like where we have this lymphatic system where toxins and hormone metabolites like to lie, but we don't have a like a heart pumps our blood. We don't have anything to pump that lymphatic system. We have to do it manually. And then we have our glymphatic system, which is basically like the lymphatic system of the brain. And the way to fix that is to get good sleep. You got to get into that
Have to.
good REM sleep to restore yourself, to wake up the next day refreshed with all of the
Sure.
crap that cycled through, the day before.
And you've got to, everyone has to, and whatever you choose, right? I was fortunate, I was introduced to a meditation that works well for me, but whatever your vehicle, maybe it's meditation, maybe it's prayer. Maybe it's yoga, maybe it's you walk your dog in the morning, but that quiet time where you're trying to not think, you're just being, is so important because, again, even if it's 10 minutes a day, we have to unplug, so to speak, from all the go of the day. It's so important to start your day on the right foot with that. I mean, every day we get a restart, right, Courtney? So the signals we put into our brain in the morning are going to dictate, are we going to be lazy today or are we going to be productive today? Are we going to be sad today or are we going to be happy today? And people are going to, they're going to argue, well, I have this and I have that. And I hear you and I respect that. But who cares? You still have 10 minutes that you can do this, right? We talked to, our head coach, John Donnelly, does a really good job of this. We talk to our players about it all the time. And, he says, the bull doesn't care. It's a phrase we use. And they don't. It's just about, you have to enjoy, as I'd said earlier, you have to enjoy the persistent pursuit of the best version of yourself. If you can't find 10 minutes a day to work on yourself, then okay, I get it. Then you have to make some very serious lifestyle changes. Because it's an investment in yourself.
It's true. And I think that's really kind of a good place to end, is really, a takeaway message for people of really honing in on self-care and what that looks like, because it looks different to everybody.
Sure,
Some people, what works for one person might not work for another person. I am a big meditator, but I know that there were different times in my life where I was going through hard things where I couldn't get my brain to settle down, to quiet, to get to that place where I, was my mind was going a mile a minute and just kept going back to the negatives. And sometimes when we're in that cycle of the negatives, we can't, it's always looking for the gratitude and the mindset shifts and, whatever it is that works for one person, whatever that is, find what that is, whether it's, like you said, mine's getting out in the sunlight, taking the dog for a walk, just even the power of a breath, right? Just sitting down and just for 2 minutes, just doing mindful breathing, taking a deep breath in and out, and really just clearing out your body of the gook. It just is so powerful.
I think it's really important for everyone and all of us to be where you're at. Oftentimes we try to either elongate where we're at and stay there because we don't want to progress, or we become upset, or it's hurt feelings, or whatever the case may be, and we stop ourselves from moving forward. Depression is thinking too far in the past, and anxiety is thinking too far in the future, right? Staying present. And for those that struggle with that, with their mind, I get it. Like, no one thinks about their circular thinking more circularly than me. I'm the king of it. But that being said, when I say be where you're at, so if you're in that state where your mind's just going, go do something. That's where, don't try to calm down. Ramp yourself up. Go for a run. Go lift weights. Go take a kickboxing class. Go do something to raise your body to the same vibration as your brain. And when you do that, then you're going to be rewarded because your brain's going to go, ah. Like my dog Priest, who I love, he's a year old. I've realized with him, I have to let him be where he's at. So for instance, when he has the zoomies, I can tell him no. I can tell him calm down all I want. He's got the zoomies. That's it. So just let him have those zoomies for 3 minutes, and then he's right back to his normal self. It's so important for all of us to remember to be kind to our future self. We beat ourselves up every day by comparing ourselves to everyone else. We are exactly where we're supposed to be. Even if we don't feel like we are, there is something greater than us that has us in this position. And while we don't know what it is, I promise it's going to work out. Because if you had asked me on October 29th, could something like that ever happen to me? My answer would be no. If you asked me on October 30th, would I be able to survive this? My answer would be no. It's 24 years this month. I'm pretty happy with where I'm at. So that would be my advice to everybody. Keep moving forward, but remember to stay present.
Mike, you are an incredible inspiration to me, to everyone you come in contact with. I
See
can't
how
even.
good I am? I've got you fooled. See?
Get out of here. All those kids that you're working with, I mean, you probably don't even understand the impact that you have on them, just to be relatable, to listen,
I
and
hope so.
just in the clinic too, just having somebody to talk to. And the takeaway, learning when to reach out and ask for help, because there are people out there that are going through the same thing you're going through, and that that we're all going through our own thing. Like you said earlier, we're all going through our own thing in our own way, but knowing that there's always somebody to reach out to help us get through these moments is what is important. And then we all are exactly where we're supposed to be. And like you said, just living in the present and just embracing it.
Yeah, it's for us, it's really what we do at game day. It's what we're about. It's a place for guys to come and feel comfortable, right? It's not, yes, we optimize hormones and all those things, but relationships develop with our clinicians. We hear things, we hear success stories. I talk to guys all the time about how grateful they are. Their marriage is back on track. They're happier at work. Guys come in and they're upset because they yelled at their kids and they don't understand why. It feels good. So those are those things for all of us. Let's get healthy together. And however I can add value, let me know.
It's so true. And I think that that's the most important thing too, especially for the guys listening to this podcast. It's really looking at the big picture of not just like, oh, how I look and feel physically, but all of those underlying things that are going on, how they can all be fixed when your body is, firing and in the right health and shape that it's supposed to be in.
Well, and I'd leave, I guess, I'd leave the guys with this who are listening to this. Fellas, real strength, and I'll challenge anybody on this. If you want to really be strong, it's humbling. Ask for help. It's the hardest thing I've ever done. I'm pretty strong. So asking for help is a true sign of strength. When you can humble yourself, all kidding aside, when you can humble yourself and say, Courtney, listen, I'm doing the best I can, but it's just not good enough. I challenge anybody when someone comes to you and they say that, there's no one that's going to turn their back on you guys when you say that. When you can humbly just come from a place of service and kindness and humility of, hey, I'm doing the best I can. I'm missing it. And it doesn't mean you're not enough. It just means you're missing something. That's all.
I love it. So, for the listeners, we will have show notes. Tell the listeners where they can get in touch. Is there an email? Which is the best way to
Absolutely.
like get in touch with Game Day?
For anything for game day, you can go to gamedaymenshealth.com, right? There's a location there. Find out which one's closest to you. You can put your locator in. We'll get you signed up. All my clinicians are on standby. We have my ambassadors ready to take your phone call. For me personally, you can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Instagram. Send me a message. I'm happy to work with anybody. If I can add value for you, if you just need a friend, you need a support staff, I got your back.
You're awesome. Thank you so much, Mike, for
I
being
appreciate
on,
you.
for all of your awesome information, inspiration, and I can't wait to do this again.
Gordon, thanks so much. I appreciate you.
Have a great day.
You too.
Thank you so much for listening to the Balanced Wellness Solutions podcast. Please leave a 5-star review if anything in this show spoke to you, or share this show with a friend to spread the word and help others find the balance they may also be searching for. Make sure to follow along with me on LinkedIn or Instagram at Dr. Courtney with a K, Ciccoletti, or check out my website at www.wellness-solutions.co to find out how we can possibly work together. Be well.